Millions of dollars in emergency food funding will end next month if the state legislature can't act in time. When the Wisconsin Supreme Court overturned the mask mandate last month, it put millions of dollars in federal food share funding on the line. For a state to access the extra funding, it has to have an emergency declaration related to the pandemic in place. And without a public health order, Wisconsin doesn't qualify. We're talking about the extra food stamps funding Wisconsin has gotten during the pandemic and what might happen if the money stops coming in next month. And we're taking your calls, your questions at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about what's happening, how it works, and how it might affect Wisconsin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We've got Molly Beck with us. She covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
The federal food aid that we're talking about in question, it's connected to the state having this public health order, and that recently included a mask mandate. The court struck it down. Explain for us the reasoning.
So the court struck down the emergency declaration from the governor after a lawsuit was filed arguing that the governor did not have the power to issue multiple emergency declarations about the same emergency, about the same coronavirus pandemic. And that's because there's a state law that says that the governor can issue these declarations for 60 days and then the legislature has to approve it to be extended. And so with that court decision, there is no emergency declaration on the coronavirus pandemic in Wisconsin right now, which is a requirement for this extra layer of funding for the state's food stamp program, which is called Food Share.
So when do lawmakers have to figure out what to do? Because there's about $50 million a month at stake here.
Right. So if lawmakers don't want the state to lose that extra money, if they don't want any kind of interruption in that funding coming to Wisconsin, they'll need to act before May. And I believe there's only one floor session scheduled in April, and that's next week. So it's unclear what will happen. I've asked, the Evers administration and legislative leaders, and the only answer I got back was from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who said that they would look at options later this month, but he wasn't sure or didn't provide details about what they would be looking at and the timeline. I also spoke to the Assembly Health Committee chairman, who said he expected the legislature would do something about this. So he didn't seem too concerned about it. But again, I haven't heard back from the other house in the Capitol.
In February, this conversation came up because Republican lawmakers passed a bill repealing the mask mandate. And in that process, this idea of the extra food share funding was a problem. And they found a way to preserve it then. And then the governor chose to keep the mask mandate in place instead of that. So help mm-hmm. us better understand this struggle between the governor's office and the legislature. I know. We don't have that much time. I get that. But this keeps happening, and it's specifically over this emergency order and who gets authority and when they should use it.
That's right. And with that veto, there was a bill. It was AB1. It was a coronavirus relief package. It included from lawmakers a sort of fix to this issue that would have allowed the governor to issue emergency declarations mm-hmm. related just to get this funding. But he vetoed that bill because it included other provisions, including allowing lawmakers to have control over federal spending. And so it's, the story of that is that fix was not on its own. And we'll see what happens, if lawmakers choose to act on this. We'll see if they do a standalone bill or if they include it in something else. But, it just right now I haven't heard anything from, the legislature affirmatively about what they'll do about it. And I haven't heard if there's another way that the Department of Health Services could find to, get the funding in some other fashion.
But the state does need another emergency declaration related to the pandemic to restore this funding?
That's my understanding. There may be some sort of special request, the state could make to the Biden administration. But I've asked that question and haven't received a response from DHS. So it's possible there's not another option. But the only option that we know of right now is that the legislature could come in and pass something.
All right. We'll keep following this developing story. Molly, thanks for explaining the latest.
Thanks for having me.
That's Molly Beck of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel helping us understand what's in the news. Now let's talk about what's at stake if Wisconsin doesn't comply with and have a new public health order. We've got Sherry Tussler, who's the executive director of Hunger Task Force. That's a food bank in Milwaukee. Sherry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be here.
Help us understand how the state has benefited from about $50 million in more federal food share funding every month.
Ever since the emergency declaration went into place, along with the dual order at the federal level, anywhere between $50 and $60 million per month in additional federal funding has reached the debit cards of low-income households across the state of Wisconsin so that they could go to the grocery store and shop for food. About 708,000 people have been impacted in a positive way by this change. And so this declaration issue is significant and important to hungry people here in Wisconsin, but also to farmers and the dairy industry, the grocery industry, and the transportation industry that all benefit when we spend more federal money in our state.
The funding that was passed in that response act, it gives people 15% more than they would otherwise receive. That's through June of this year. How significant is that 15%?
It is significant in that it's $13.4 million a month in a broader sense, but it's significant because it elevates a single adult, for example, who pre-pandemic living in subsidized housing was getting $16 a month in food share. With the emergency declaration and the maximum allowable benefit, they went up to $200 per month. And now with that 15% bump are at $234 a month, meaning that a single could probably make it through the month on that $234 without having to visit an emergency food pantry.
Help us understand what your organization does and how you see this then.
We are an anti-hunger public policy expert and leader. So we operate a food bank here in Milwaukee County, but we also organize the Hunger Relief Federation of Wisconsin, which is 123 distinct organizations working to end hunger. We feed people today, but we also advocate for sound social policy. And this food share program it's taken a pandemic, literally, to create a positive aspect around it where people believe that other people need help and the unemployed need help. I would say as little as 5 years ago, we were talking about drug testing the poor. We were talking about work requirements. Now we're saying, oh my God, my friend, my neighbor, my family member needs food share because they lost their job due to the pandemic. And so it's become an important social program. It was always there, but now it's been elevated in terms of its esteem.
We're talking with Sherry Tussler, who's the executive director of Hunger Task Force. She just explained what that does, including being a food bank in Milwaukee. And we want to hear from you. The lines are open at 800-642-1234. How has the pandemic affected you financially? Will you continue to have an extra financial burden even as life starts going back to normal? What do you think lawmakers should do at this point? Who are the helpers in your life? 800-642-1234 is the number to call as we talk about increased aid for food and what's at stake if Wisconsin could lose it. 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. The conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening to Central Time. Wisconsin risks losing millions of dollars a month now that the state Supreme Court struck down the governor's emergency order related to the pandemic. That one included a mask mandate. Hunger Task Force Executive Director Sherry Tussler is our guest here on Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about what the potential loss of millions in food aid next month could have, how it could affect people in Wisconsin. And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Sherry, have you seen a change in need during this pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. Last year, the second week of March, Everything closed, obviously, except for essential services, including the food bank and its related food pantries. We saw a dramatic increase in demand, nearly 50% in the first month of the pandemic. It leveled out over time, and things got a little bit more even just about the time we got additional assistance from the federal government. But we were struggling there in the months of April and May. It was pretty tough.
Has this extra federal funding met the need? Is it the right amount?
I would say it's the most funding that the food share program has ever received. Other programs, including the commodity programs, where we get federal foods and give them to food pantries, were increased dramatically as well. And then the WIC program, Women, Infants, and Children's program, has seen an increase. And so what we're seeing is an emphasis now on getting food aid to people. And it's been, as I said earlier, a huge benefit to Wisconsin's food producers and farmers who are also in dramatic need during these times.
If Wisconsin doesn't receive that food share funding in May, what kind of choices does that put in front of people who rely on the program?
Well, one thing I want to clarify is that the federal government has notified the states that as these emergency orders begin to lapse across the country in response to an improved situation with the pandemic, that there will be a month of step-down benefits. And so the real issue will not be May, but June. And so people should feel real assured that if they're getting their food share benefits right now, that increased emergency payment will come in April. It will also come in May, but it will end in June. And so our legislature needs to take action, or our governor could take action, or our state's Department of Health's secretary could also take action. And so in the state of Michigan, their health department actually made the declaration eliminating all of the drama related to the politics between the parties.
We are talking with Sherry Tussler, who's executive director of Hunger Task Force, and we are discussing food aid in Wisconsin at this time during the pandemic, especially as we don't quite know the future of extra funding that was helping people through the coronavirus pandemic. And we're taking your calls. We've got Judy in Appleton ready to join us. Welcome, Judy.
Hello, I am calling about the food stamps, and I'm happy that it's there. I use it. However, I see many people misuse it, and they should revamp the system a bit so that it you don't get all the snacks and all the pop and all the stuff. I see people send their kids to the Quick Trip, and the kids got five friends, and they take the card and they go in there and they buy pop and they buy all the candy and all the stuff. And it's like, come on, that's not what this program is for.
Yeah. Judy, how do you use your benefits? How do you kind of maintain a thrifty responsibility then?
I cook at home. I don't buy prepackaged meals. I buy what is necessary to be able to make it stretch out, and I do just fine.
Judy, thank you so much for being willing to share your experience taking part in this program. And I think Judy probably struggles with things we've heard other people bring up here, you know, trying to act responsibly with what you have and also, you know, make the best decisions. And those are different for everyone, Sherry.
They absolutely are. And what I can say with regard to Judy's comment is that food is defined by the grocery industry and not by the USDA and its program. And so if it's got a UPC code on it that says it's food, it becomes food and eligible for purchase by the food stamp program. Everyone in the household is able to use that debit card, including children, to do shopping. And so those are the program rules that the federal government can't change, but are more influenced by the grocery industry.
And those benefits are accepted at a lot of places. You know, we've heard people in the past say, well, gas stations shouldn't take them or things. Sometimes gas stations are the primary source of food for a community where they don't have a grocery store. That's true in Wisconsin.
Yes, I live in urban Milwaukee where that is definitely true in my neighborhood. The gas station is going to have to carry what they call the depth of shelf. And so the federal government will allow them to accept EBT if they have a dozen or more of the specific items on hand. that are defined as food.
Mo in Oconto is also ready to talk with us during this conversation. Hey, Mo.
Hey. I'm all for the food stamp program. If people qualify for it and they need food, we should feed them if we can. But the other thing that really upsets me is that these people in Madison, when they got rid of the mask mandate, and they were been working on this for months now, that really affects their economy. Like the woman, your guest said, it affects the farmers, it affects the grocery stores, it affects the workers that work in these industries, and it does have an effect on our economy, over $600 million that we're not going to get. And I think people should call their congressmen and senators and let them know, especially if they're the ones that are on the side that voted to get rid of this mandate without thinking it through.
Yeah, Mo, thanks for that comment. And Sherry, this is really just Mo emphasizing what you were talking about when it's not just about individual families, although we do want people to be able to be fed. It's also about our interconnected economy.
It absolutely is. Our food system is so dependent on the purchases that individuals make. Right at the beginning of the pandemic, we heard stories about dairy farmers spilling their milk because restaurants and schools had closed. And so there was no outlet for that milk, and it made sense for hungry people to get access to it. So our organization partnered with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection here in Wisconsin and identified farmers and cheese cooperatives and other groups that were in need of a rescue. And we applied CARES Act funding to purchase those foods and distribute them to qualified food pantries across the state as a problem-solving mechanism. But we learned a lot about the pain of the dairy farmers and the other farmers, pork and beef, that were really struggling throughout the pandemic because of those closures.
Let's go ahead and welcome then Bernard in Racine. Bernard, what are you thinking about as we have this conversation about food help?
Well, I'd first like to commend you on your effort. I think it's a very, very valuable, worthwhile initiative that you're trying to make happen. Unfortunately, I'm not really one that's going wanting for food. I think my question is, what is being done to, look at the micro level or the macro level, ways to feed people efficiently, instead of food pantries or food stamps? I mean, are there anything that's exciting? I mean, is it because technology doesn't see that there's money in this initiative, that there is no effort on that side of it? Because if that's the case, I think that's sad.
Bernard, let me jump in here get Sherry to answer your question, which is, beyond food pantries, are there innovative ways right now where we're trying to feed people?
It's a darn fine question. The federal nutrition assistance programs are in place to feed people immediately through emergency food pantries and commodity programs. And we balance saving agricultural access by feeding it to the poor. We also have the school meals programs where those commodities go. The food stamp program actually is a big economic driver and probably the most effective way to get food to people, because they can shop at the grocery store and buy the foods that they like and that are healthful for them and respect their diet, their religion, and their culture. The idea of handing out food and saying as a charity, we've solved hunger, is that's wrong-minded. We can end hunger by making sure that food is purchased locally, and that food stamp program is one of the most effective ways to do that. We do have some effective things, like farmers markets are very effective. We have mobile markets that go to neighborhoods where stores are altogether absent. And so there are some fun things. If people want to check out our website, they can look and see what we've been doing to end hunger and not just feed people today.
Millions of Americans have relied on government aid over the past year to survive. How has this pandemic changed our understanding of social programs in this country?
I think it's been a big eye-opener for a lot of people because just before the pandemic, we were talking about having able-bodied adults work for their food share or not receive it after 90 days. We wanted parents of school-aged children to work and prove that they were working in order to get food benefits. We wanted to drug test people. And so now all of a sudden, because we know somebody who needed food share, we're going, this is a good program. It's an important program. People should be able to have access to healthy food, and it should be affordable, and it should be, you know, positive for everybody. And so I think we shined a new light on food share and its importance in our economy, as well as to make sure that our neighbors, friends, and family members are all healthy.
So more people have needed assistance. So we realize that good people need assistance. So we realize that people need assistance.
Absolutely.
How do you think people, this pandemic will continue to affect people financially when it comes to food, even as we get vaccinated and are, you know, in the home stretch?
Well, you know, everybody's got to recover, and that economic recovery needs to, you know, include a living wage for people if they're really going to not be eligible for food share into the future. But people who are on food share should know that they'll be reviewed every 6 months. Listeners who are saying maybe this isn't such a great program should know that that review requires proof. And so we have to just, I guess, wait and see how it all goes and hope that the federal aid, as well as the attention towards the need, remains well after the pandemic.
Sherry, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Sherry Tussler is the executive director of Hunger Task Force. We talked about what could happen to people in need of help in Wisconsin now that the state risks losing millions of dollars a month in extra food aid from the federal government. That's tied to having a pandemic emergency order in place, and the state Supreme Court struck down the one issued by the governor.